Second Peter, towards the end of the Bible. We're in the first chapter. Second Peter chapter 1. And we have a particular section that three times in it, Peter mentions reminding, remembering. So, I'm not so good how your memory is, because I'm not so good how my memory is. But it's still there and working. Just at times, it doesn't work when I'd like it to. But that's what he's going to talk about, and we're going to see why. So I'm going to read from verse 2, just to get background, because what he will be mentioning has to do with what he's referred to already. So we'll do this. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue, knowledge, to knowledge, self-control, to self-control, perseverance, to perseverance, godliness, to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth. Yes, I think it right. I think it is right, as long as I am in this tent, to stir you up by reminding you, knowing that shortly I must put off my tent, just as our Lord Jesus Christ showed me. Moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. I just pray your blessing upon it. Lord, I pray that's the attitude of our hearts as we've gathered here. It's not just to come, and it's wonderful to see people again and to be together. But Lord, to worship you and to be able to listen to your word and to look at it, Lord, by your spirit, to be able to understand it more, because it's you speaking to us and into our lives, and that is what we desire. So Lord, you know our hearts, you know our needs, you know what's going on in the very conditions of our lives right now. You are intimately acquainted with our ways. And so, Lord, just for your help and your mercy in that way, and especially in the ways that are some serious physical things going on, challenges and such, for your mercies and grace. So, Lord, again, we just look to you in this and pray your blessing by your Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. See Bill? Bill? Somebody get Bill. Would you mind getting the doors here, please? I can't not compete. God makes much on remembering. Remember is a word used 13 times in the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy. As they had come out of Egypt under the leadership of Moses, all the things that happened, and in Deuteronomy, the second reading of the law, the second law, 13 times God says through Moses, remember, to his people, remember, remember. Don't forget. As a matter of fact, one time it's remember, do not forget. So he places a high importance on remembering. And this is what Peter focuses on, giving us three points here. What his ministry is, good reasons for remembering and looking into the future. Verse 12 at the start, actually because it's reminding, is used three times to remind through these verses. Peter's main ministry. At this point, it's reminding, to remind. And he refers to these things, and these things, if you look at verses 5 through 7, and that's why I wanted to read those, because in 8 through 11, he mentions these things again, all those different, the list there in 5 through 7, faith, virtue, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, love. Two categories these things come under. One is basically knowing God's word, and the other is living it out, living God's word. And so his main ministry that he wants to accomplish is to remind them of these things. And that's great. As a matter of fact, these things, knowing God's word, living out God's word, everything comes under those two categories. It doesn't matter if you would like to focus on evangelism, that's under these things. Knowing God's word and living it out. Evangelism. Discipleship, knowing God's word, living it out. Glorifying Christ, walking in obedience, knowing his word, living it out. It's all there. So Peter says, I want to remind you three times. So as a good pastor, Peter, why is this the pastor's main ministry? Again, I'll share what I said 2 weeks ago, but you won't remember. But you will as soon as I say it. Why is this Peter's main ministry? Because we tend to remember what we're supposed to forget, and we forget what we're supposed to remember. That's the way it goes. We remember what we're supposed to forget, and we often forget what we're supposed to remember. Now, again, what do I mean by that? For example, what are we supposed to remember? What do we remember that at times we are likely to forget, but we need to remember, but we don't? How about the truths of God's word? How about the promises? Peter mentions promises, the commands. How about the goodness of God that at times we just forget? That we should remember at times his faithfulness, his grace, the forgiveness of God that we should remember, that we will forget. What do we need to forget that at times we remember? What do we need to forget? Isaiah 43:23, it's one of the, it is a wonderful promise of what God does to us. Isaiah 43:23, what do we need to forget? I think it's what God forgets. It's what God forgets. So Isaiah 43:23, it's his word. I'm sorry, 43:25, God speaks, I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. So what am I supposed to forget? It's what God forgets. Now, technically speaking, God cannot forget. If he forgets something, then that implies there's something that God does not know, but he knows everything. So he cannot forget. But he says here, I will forget your sins. He says, I will not remember them. I choose not to put them in mind. So when a person realizes they need Jesus Christ, and they can't do it on their own, live life or face eternity, whatever it is. And so they need Jesus Christ. And they turn from whatever it is they're trusting into and turn to him. That's called repentance in the scripture. And they come to him, Jesus, you died on the cross for my sins. I believe it. And you rose from the dead. I believe that. I put my trust in you to work in my life, to do in me what I cannot do in myself, and to take me where I need to go after this life that I'll never get there on my own. And that's glory. That's heaven. I trust you for that. Nothing else. Nothing else. So when that happens, God not only forgives, some would say, well, you need to forgive and forget. I'd say to that, forget it. God does not forget. He says, therefore, I will not remember your sins. I choose not to. And at times, we need to forget. So, what God forgets. However, there's another more practical aspect that at times we need to forget, but we want to remember, and that's forget others' offenses or hurts to us. Because in Ephesians 4:32, we are commanded, if you know Jesus Christ, to forgive others as God in Christ forgave you. As he forgave you. Jesus told the parable about the unforgiving servant who owed millions to his master, and his master forgave him, had pity, mercy on him, forgave him. This is the story Jesus told. But then this servant goes out, and another servant owes him a few bucks, and he won't forgive him. And then news of that, and has this second servant taken off to jail. News of that gets to the master, and the master says, basically, look, I forgive you this incredible amount, so why couldn't you be to that person like I was to you? So, to forgive others for the harms, for what they owe me, and the offenses and the hurts or whatever, in the way that God in Christ forgave me. But that's what we find at times hard, excuse me, to forget because we want to remember. So it's not a matter of forgetting, it's a matter of how God chooses not to remember. Well, that's just an example. Another idea on this remembering, forgetting, there are reasons, there are just simply reasons that we forget things. Reasons we forget. Least of all is old age. Oh, okay, so we won't touch that anymore. Reasons we forget. One is, if something happened, it's too painful, too hurtful, we don't want to remember it. So it's like, I don't want to go there. I don't want to remember. So hopefully I'll just forget it in time. Another is something that we've never really happened to us or learned in the first place. Or something happened, we didn't pay attention, so we just forget. Another is we don't refresh our memories. We don't refresh our memories. It's kind of like either use it or you'll lose it. Doesn't matter if it's a skill, if you're working on something, I will get past this test. I will get past this exam. Once I'm past it, then I can forget it. It's like, now you better not forget everything of it because it might come handy later on. But we don't refresh our memory. Something that we also consider not important enough to remember. Here's the big one though. Here's where a lot of people live. Why we tend to forget, just things in general. We are too distracted. It's called mental overcrowding. That we are so distracted. There's a term of fast lane living. I call it crowded lane living. And it doesn't matter. I came across this about distractions. A Nielsen report, latest one. They do these polls and all. U.S. consumers spent an average of 270 hours per month on average, watching screens, looking at screens. 200, it doesn't matter if your screen is big or if your screen is small. 200, now that's about 9 hours on average a day, just looking at screens. That does not include if you work on a computer. Doesn't include that. 9 hours a day. As a matter of fact, he said, over the last year, Americans on average now spend 7 hours more per month using apps or browsing on their phones more than they did a year ago, 7 hours per month. But still, we're at 270 hours a day. Dr. Gardner, an ophthalmologist at the Massachusetts Eye and Ear Institute, reported that people on average blink about 15 times a minute. But on average, without thinking, 15 times. I was trying to communicate to somebody over here to see if they were counting how many times I'm blinking. 15 times a minute. Okay, but in using screens, especially smartphones, that drops in half. So he said that has a relationship to dry eyes, shoulder and neck muscles tensing up, face muscles contorting, headaches, people looking at little screens, and I call it the symptoms of the walking dead. Here's the symptoms of the walking dead. Here's the symptoms of the driving dead. Okay? Don't text and whatever. 270 hours. 9 hours a day, on average. There's only 168 hours in the week. 9 times 7 is 63 on screens. If you work at a 40-hour work week on average, and that's if you can walk across the street to your job, there's 40 there. You only have, in the week, 65 hours left. Just 65 hours. Now you're saying, okay, divided by 7. Okay, but that's 9 hours and 20 minutes a day to sleep, to eat, to do the laundry, to travel, to go to the bathroom, to go to church, to read your own Bible. That's all, on average. Someone has said that the average Christian prays for approximately maybe 3 minutes a day, maybe. I don't know the latest statistics as to personal Bible reading, but on average, looking at screens, or maybe you're reading your Bible on a screen, 9 hours a day. And that's not for work. So I call it distractions. We are too distracted, too much to remember. The devil is a master at the art of distraction. He's a master of it. You know, you try to have a serious conversation and it's in a particular store with someone and you're having a good conversation, you want to get down to something that you really want to say to them, and it's kind of like everything's perfect, and just before that happens, oh, here comes a lady in a cart this way, and there's people in the aisle coming down this way. It's like, where did all these people come from just now? When for the last 20 minutes, we had privacy, because you want to mention something to this person. It's like, the devil is a master at distraction. However, there's one more, because these things, and that's why I wanted to read verses 5 through 7, these things don't come naturally. Virtue, godliness, brotherly kindness, knowledge, love. They don't come naturally. They are supernatural. They are the work of the Spirit of Jesus Christ in our lives. And so that's another reason why Peter in verse 5 says, put effort, giving diligence. And so he says it in verse 12, even though you know and are established, you're pretty set in these things, you're doing well, he says, I'm still going to remind you. And that's like it's his main ministry. I'm going to remind you. Because you need to be reminded, because our tendency is to forget. And then in verse 13 and 14, is it 13 and 14? He gives two good reasons he gives as to why we need reminding. Because in verse 13, he says at the start, I think it is right, because reminding is right. Now you go, well, of course it's right. However, if you look a little bit into what this right is, this is not right and wrong. This is the word most used in the entire New Testament for just, J-U-S-T. It is a word that is most associated with God in terms of righteousness and justice and righteous. So it's not just, I think it's right. It's like, no, this is righteous. This is just to do this. It's not just right or wrong. It's way more than that. Right according to God's standard of being right, which takes it beyond, it's my opinion, it's your opinion, let's talk about our opinions. Is this right or not? Peter says, no, 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 this is right according to what God wants. And that's why he uses, in verse 13, it's right to stir you up by reminding you. Now, some of you, I don't know about your little children, but when you get to the point of having teenagers, you will know the meaning of the term stir up, because it means to rouse awake, to fully awake, so that when you go in and they're way late and they're sleeping and you want to go get a cup of water, and there's, because you're going, hey, it's time to, hey, you're going to be late for, hey, and they're like, and so you go get the cup of water and you go, and it wakes them up. You have now stirred them up. You have now fully roused them, because he says, I want to stir you up in this, because our tendency is not only to forget, it is to take spiritual catnaps as well and spiritually sleep when we should be awake. So Peter says, this is part of my reminding you to stir you up in this. And so if a pastor does anything, anything in helping to stir up the minds and hearts of those who are listening to him, as far as the Word of God goes, good. 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 Stir up. Verse 14, the second reason Peter says, hey, these are my reasons for why I'm reminding you and remind again. It's not just, it's right according to what God wants. It's also, verse 14, put off my tent. It's also that at some point, I'm gone. I'm gone. If you go back to the end of John chapter 21, 18 and 19, that's where Jesus told Peter, after Jesus rose from the dead, Peter, at some point, they're going to shackle you up, loose paraphrase here, and take you where you don't want to go. And history records that Peter was captured, died as a martyr for the faith, and because he did not want to be crucified upright like the Lord, he thought he wasn't worthy of that, they turned him upside down in his crucifixion. That's history on that. So, Peter, they're going to take you where you don't want to go. So he refers to that, as the Lord Jesus showed me, I must put off my tent. In other words, my life's going to be over. My life will be over. And even in verse 15, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease. And decease in the Greek sounds like exodus. My leaving, my going out, my decease, leaving. So Peter goes, at some point, I am history. And so you need to remember these things. Great point here. Every good pastor has a sense of his mortality, that he will not keep pastoring forever. Now, Peter, in verse 15, ties that into the future. That's his third point here. It's not just in the first part, I will show you these things, I will remind you. I need to do that. That's the main thing I'm concerned about right now. And also, but also when I'm gone, verse 15, into the future. And so he writes to them, I'm going to be very careful that you have a reminder of these things. Great pastor. Because the reminder is of these things. It's not of himself. Boy, did you hear Peter preach way back? Yeah. What did he say? I forget what he said. But it was good. See? Oh, yeah. Yeah, you need to go hear the pastor. You know, because he's a great speaker. Oh, I did. It was wonderful. What did he say? No, Peter says, no, these things, they're the main things that he wants them to remember. These things, sign of a great pastor, not get wrapped about the pastor. What he's saying is, Peter is saying, I want you to remember these things more than you remember me. Because these things are eternal, and I am not. These things are directly from the Lord, verse 5 through 7, and I'm just a messenger. These things are what you really need if you're serious about following Jesus Christ, and I need them just as much. These things are timeless, but I will wear out. These things are from the Spirit of God. I need them too. And so he says, therefore, stir up. And then he uses another term for his reminding in verse 15. Actually, he's using the same word, remind, remind, reminder. Same basic word. And it has to do with a fixture in the mind. So if you think of your house, and you have things hanging on the wall. And you go, oh, I remember that photograph. Yeah, we got it framed. And there's a painting that we came across. It's like it's there. It's a fixture in the mind. So you go through your mind and you see the fixtures that are there. Because he says, I want to be the reminder so that you will keep looking at these fixtures. Hang the paintings. Paintings that, oh, that's God's goodness. Oh, that's God's mercy. Oh, that's God's forgiveness. I will remember, which was read at the start of our service. I will remember the works of the Lord. Hang the fixtures that help us remember. Hang those and take down the paintings of hurt, of bitterness, of unforgiveness, of impatience, of anger, of being wrongly treated, the memories. Take down the paintings. A fixture, reminder, a fixture in the mind to focus on those things. So if I can help you remember, then I think God will be glorified. I'll be satisfied. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for your word. Lord, I always find it amazing that you would have someone like Peter, who has just started off the ordinary fisherman guy, and that was his livelihood, and at some point Jesus called, and he said yes, and it's always in that order. And now here he is, writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, these amazing, amazing truths, and that we are helped by them. So Lord, help us, each one of us, in knowing Jesus, especially to remind, to be reminded, Lord, of the things that you want us to know, to focus on, and if there's things in our lives that we need to take the paintings off, we'll never trash them. They won't disappear because even our minds, they say we do not forget. But if there's things we need to choose to not remember, help us in doing that, Lord, so that we can look at the things that will be reminders of your goodness to us, especially in Jesus. Thank you. We pray in his name. Amen. Take your hymnal, please.